Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The beginning of 1 Thessalonians is another one of those sections of Scripture that we often just sort of glance over without giving much thought to. Paul and Timothy and Silvanus, whoever that is, commend the Thessalonian church, right? You guys are doing good. It literally takes us less than a minute to read these 10 verses, to read the entirety of this chapter. And then we're left to wonder, if Paul is commending the Thessalonian church, what does that have anything to do with me? Right? How is God's word that is written for my learning, how is God's word that is supposed to be for our benefit, what is it trying to say? What am I supposed to learn from it, from this section of text where Paul is talking to a specific church? Well, in the epistle for today, we heard these words. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul commends the congregation, right? We give thanks to God. He prays for this congregation constantly, remembering three things: your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. And the truth is that these words are not just for the Christians in Thessalonica. These words are also for the Christians who are gathered here. For you. You see, they were doing all of these things to express their faith. All three of these, right? Their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope were all expressions of their belief in Jesus Christ. And so these words from 1 Thessalonians were not only designed to sort of commend and encourage the Christians from 2,000 years ago, but they're also designed to commend and encourage you. You see, we'll take them one at a time. Work of faith. And we go, well, we already know about faith, right? All the work's been done for us. Jesus Christ has been crucified and risen and forgiven us all of our sin. There's nothing for us to do to work. Well, it doesn't mean that you need to work. It means that God works for you. And so where does God work to strengthen our faith? Only in the ways that God has promised. And so when your faith prays to the Lord, trusting in his promises, your faith is working. When you open the Bible and receive from the Word, your faith is working. When you come to the church and you receive the sacrament of the altar, as we will this morning, your faith is working. When you confess your sins and believe that by it you are forgiven before Christ in heaven, as the pastor speaks the absolution into your ears, your faith is working. When you daily rely on the forgiveness found in your baptism, your faith is working. And you know what? You're commended for it. Thanks be to God that we have this text from God in 1 Thessalonians. God loves when your faith works. And he encourages you to keep using it. But there's more. Remember, there's three things. And so the second one, he encourages towards a labor of love. Well, we know the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, summarized in one word, is the word love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. And so anytime you do works that serve the Lord, or anytime you do works that serve your neighbor, you are laboring of love. That's what it is. And so if you're an elder in the church, or if you're on the church council, or if you're in the LWML, or if you've ever brought something to a potluck, or if you've ever stepped into the church and asked how your fellow Christian is doing that day, you have a labor of love. You've showed that you care about somebody. You've been a part of the Christian community. And it's so simple. We don't have to go out and do wonderful things that the world is going to sort of be in awe at to be doing labors of love. No, just being a part of the community. Just caring about other people, especially when it's other people in the church. And so keep doing it. You guys are doing great. We labor. We love each other. We come together as a community. Thanks be to God, we have these words of encouragement in 1 Thessalonians. And yet it continues, because remember, there's three things. And so the third one is remain steadfast in the hope of Jesus Christ. And so these words, they encourage us to stay steadfast, that as we receive his gifts, as we labor in love for one another and the rest of the world, we rest in a promise, because the truth is we're not stupid. We know that sin exists in the world. We know that hardships exist in the world. That families sometimes have things that don't really mesh well, and then there's butting heads, and then we know that people we love get sick, and then people we love die. And we see the effects of sin all around us, and there's atrocities that happen across the globe, and even in our own country, and we go, why? But we're not supposed to look for our hope in this life. Right? The steadfastness of hope of Jesus Christ is the fact that Jesus is going to come again. And he's going to save us from all of it. From sin, from sickness, from death. We rest in that hope and we love the Lord for it. That he's going to come and complete the decimation of sin and Satan and death, and everything will be great. I'm excited for it. And I know you're excited for it too. It sounds awesome. And so be encouraged. That's what 1 Thessalonians is designed to do, is to encourage you. Remain in this working out of your faith as you receive from the Lord. Continue to labor in love towards your neighbor and towards everybody else in this world, and remain in that steadfastness of hope. Constantly keeping our eyes to the heavens, just waiting for that moment when Jesus is going to come again. But because we're sinners, and this is probably the worst part of all, God's not done yet. You see, we hear these words, and they're meant to be words of encouragement, sort of a third-use guide, you know, God encouraging us to continue in this Christian life that he has set us in. But at the same time, our sin convicts us. Right? Because we can look at these words, and we can go, have we really always continued in the work of faith? I mean, as much as I'd like to say that I've been perfect, you know, sometimes the day fills up and then all of a sudden I remember I never did my daily devotions. Sometimes we let the cares of this world sort of overcome us and then we find very little time for God's word. Sometimes we're so busy getting on through life that, you know, we might miss the divine service on Sunday. Sometimes, you know, we might be so hungry at a meal that we forget to give thanks to God for the bounty that he's given us, and we just start, you know, shoveling food into our face. As much as we'd like to say that we're always working out our faith, it's not always the truth. Sometimes we fail. You know, and as much as we'd like to say that all of the time we labor in love for our neighbor, that's not so much true either. Sometimes we're so concerned with ourselves and so concerned with looking out for number one that we use our time and our talents and our resources and our abilities simply to serve ourselves. And we don't consider the community. And we don't consider the ways in which we can help somebody else out, or ways in which we can use what God has given us to serve him and to serve others. And sometimes we don't hope in Jesus coming again. Sometimes we place our hope in the things of this world. Maybe looking forward to the weekend where we can sort of let loose and have a few too many drinks. Maybe we hope in the fact that, you know, we're going to have another big event coming down the pike, and it's just, you know, as long as we can make it to 6 months from now, we're going to really enjoy ourselves on vacation. Or we're going to hope in the fact that Christmas is right around the corner. Or we're going to hope in the fact that, you know, one day we're all going to celebrate the 125th anniversary of Chestnut. When really we ought to hope in the coming of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't rejoice in the things of this world. God has certainly given us great gifts. But when we place all of our hope and all of our stock into these earthly things that are simply going to come and go, earthly things that are simply going to pass away, we cease to place our hope in Jesus. My friends, today is a day to be encouraged. continue in faith and in love and in hope. But it's also a day to repent of all the times when we didn't continue in faith and in love and in hope. You see, the Lord puts you into the Christian life. And he puts you into the Christian life so that you might repent. Recognize that you have nothing apart from him, and look to what Jesus has done as our example. Be imitators of Christ. Because what did Jesus do? He came to this earth and he worked out his faith. He was informed by the scriptures. He was constantly in prayer. He was always in the temple, either teaching or receiving from those who taught there. You know, the Jews had to always be there for the big festivals, make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem and celebrate as God commanded. And where was Jesus? Faithful. He was always faithful to God first, working out his faith in his heavenly Father. Where else do we see Jesus in scriptures? Always laboring in love for you and for the rest of the world. You see him coming, and he's got people who are blind and lame and deaf and all sorts of people who are sick with various diseases. And what does he do? He heals them. He shows his compassion and he cares for them. And you know, there are some times in scripture too where, you know, Jesus tries to sneak away, right? He's sort of burdened, you know, because all the people are coming to him and he hasn't eaten and he hasn't slept and he doesn't know what. So he tries to go off to secluded places, and what happens? But the crowds beat him there. And they fill the secluded place, and what does Jesus say? Go away, I don't have time for you, I'm tired. No. He has compassion on them. Everybody who comes to Jesus in faith and asks for his help, Jesus shows them his mercy. Because that's how much he cares. And he does it so that way you might know that you have a compassionate God even now. Well, Jesus can't really wait for himself. You know, he can't have a steadfast hope that, you know, he's going to be coming again for him. But Jesus waits now. And he's waiting to come back for you. You know, there's a time appointed in heaven that God already knows when Jesus is going to come riding in the clouds to defeat our enemies forever. And Jesus is waiting for that day. And he can't wait for it to arrive because he knows he's going to set you free. He knows that he's going to forgive you for all of your sins, just as he does in the church. And he knows that he's going to cast sin away forever. My friends, Jesus has done it all. Crucified, risen, ascended, waiting to come for you again. More than anything, all he wants is for you to rest in faith, to live in love, and to remain in hope. So let's do that. Until the day that Jesus comes again, be encouraged. Be encouraged as you work out your faith. Be encouraged as you labor in love. Be encouraged as you hope in the coming of Jesus. And when you fail, repent. Because Jesus promises that all of your sins are forgiven in his death and his resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.